Turn to the book of Jude this morning, the book of Jude, and to 1 Peter chapter 5, and then we'll be reading some more passages as we go through the message and thought this morning on earnestly contending for the faith. The Bible says in the book of Jude, as Jude pens down this passage of Scripture, it said, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace be, and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity we have to bow in your presence, the privilege we have to come to your house, Lord. I pray that you'd help us for just a little bit this morning. Lord, you know what each and every one of us stand in need of, and Lord, I just pray that you ministered our hearts, Lord, and I pray that you'd help us be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit this morning, Father. Lord, I pray that you'd touch us, give us the right words to say as we go up further into this message, Lord, of earnestly contending for the faith. Father, have your way. Lord, if there's one lost among us or on watching by the way of the webcast, Lord, this morning, I pray that you'd touch that one that's nearest eternity. This might be the day they trust you as their Savior. Lord, help us all just to draw closer to you by being here today. Lord, we thank you for the good Sunday school hour, the lesson this morning. Lord, I pray that you just ever apply it to our hearts, and we'll give you glory and praise for all that you do. In Jesus' name and Jesus' sake, amen. This morning, I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 5 again. 1 Peter again this morning in chapter 5. And look at a verse there in verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And we began this series several weeks ago on earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And Jude and Peter, in writing these epistles, are encouraging people about keeping the faith. And if there's ever been a day and time that we as God's people need to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, it's this day and hour that we're living in. Brother Darrell been teaching there in 1 John there, and even John warns of the, he said, try the spirits and know that they're of God. There's a lot of different spirits out here. There's a lot of different doctrines today. And as Darrell was teaching this morning there in the Sunday school hour, he was mentioning, talking about love and how God's love has been given to us and that we're to love one another as brethren and that we're to keep the commandments of God because He first loved us. And there's a lot of people today that would say that we base our fellowship with one another and with God on love. And we know that God is love, but we don't base our fellowship on love this morning. We base it on doctrine. The Bible says over in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3 said, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And there's a lot of false doctrine out in this world today. Everything that says church is not teaching the true Word of God this morning. And everything has a steeple pointing to heaven. That don't mean that you're going to get the truth when you go in there. And we need to realize into this day that we're living in that if there's ever been a time that we need to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saint, it's today. In this day and hour that we're living in. And we look, the first one we first started this series here in Book of Jude, we talked about the importance of contending for the faith. We talked about the instructions of contending for the faith, the examples that Jude gave and other epistles that have given unto us. And then we talked about the imperativeness of contending for the faith and what Jude meant and what he refers to here in the book of Jude, and he was referring to the basic body of basic Christian doctrine and the Christian truth, hey, that's been passed down to it. And we know that it's been counterfeited in this day and hour that we're living in. And then we looked at another thought there under that heading was who must contend for the faith. Not only pastors and teachers, but every born-again child of God this morning, I believe it's important that we earnestly contend for the faith. And why we must contend for the faith. We looked at that thought there in contending for the faith. And Jude gives a simple answer there in verse 4, I believe it was, where he said that there are false teachers, for certain men crept in unawares who were before ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where we're at today. These certain men have crept in. Pastors has to be on their toes today in churches because there's always someone. We had a man come in here one Sunday during the pandemic. He stood back there and he walked in and he just took a seat or stood there while we were singing. He took his phone out and he looked at his phone and then he looked around and I thought, oh no, we've been busted. And I thought they had done probably the CDC had already sent somebody in here to check on us, see how many people we had that was worshiping. But it turned out that the gentleman come back another Sunday and then found out what he was all about. He was wanting to peddle some of his doctrine. Hey, he wanted to find a group of people that he might come in and he might take the doctrine that he was teaching and try to spread it through a little congregation like this. He wanted the opportunity. And I picked up on it real quick that what he was doing. But we have to watch. We have to be alert in this hour because there's certain men that's crept in underwear. And that's the very way that they do this. They come in and they try to take their doctrine, their teaching. They twist the Scriptures and fit it to their own needs and what they think. And they want to pass that on and corrupt the true teachings of God. And the reason they do that this morning is because they're following someone else. They're following a person that's called Satan. I said a person that's called Satan. And that's what I want to look at this morning in this earnestly contending for the faith series and look at the thought of while contending with the devil. While contending with the devil. Hey, we know that Satan has three titles that's been given him in Scripture, setting forth his malignity against the church of God. He's called a dragon to note his malice. He's called a serpent to note his subtlety, and a lion to note his strength. And rarely, if ever, will Satan confront you and I this morning. He'll almost always approach you indirectly. He'll be disguised as someone or something. Who that is more likely to win your trust? He will come to you through something you hear or see most of the time. If you knew it was Satan, you'd be less inclined to listen or to say yes. But the greatest trick that the devil ever played was convincing the world, hey, that he didn't exist. We find in a survey of 1,500 preachers that was conducted back in the 70s that 50% of them said that they didn't believe in a personal devil. I believe this morning that the number no doubt would be much larger today. Several years ago there was a gentleman up toward Cornelia, between Cornelia and Clarksville and that area up in there, that was a Baptist preacher, and he said this, he had intellectually went on, he didn't believe that there was literal hell. So a man that don't believe there's a literal hell most likely doesn't believe in a literal devil. But can I tell you this morning, hey, that there is a literal devil this morning. Hey, he's walking about this morning seeking whom he may devour. I mean, he comes a lot of times as a lion, but a lot of times he comes subtly to us. And Paul warned us there in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. He said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. He warned again in chapter 11 verse 14. He said, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. We know that Satan wants to distract. He wants to detour you. He wants to discourage you. He wants to deceive you and even go as far as to devour you and I this morning. Hey, Satan's devices deceive and they damn a lot of people to hell this morning. As we look at this thought this morning about the devil, let's just keep in mind that he's a real person. He's a real entity this morning. And he's been from the very beginning there, in the very outstart of Scripture. We can find the mention of Satan in Genesis chapter 3, where he comes to Eve there subtly. And he discredits the Word of God and denies the Word that God had told him there in the Garden of Eden. But I want to look at, first of all this morning, the personality of the devil, of Satan. The personality of Satan. In Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 to 19, we find the Bible says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Thou hast walked upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. And thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. By the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more." Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12 to 14 gives us this description. It said, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High." Paul gives us another in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 to 12. He said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We find, hey, Satan demonstrates intellectual abilities and emotions and active will. His intelligence is reflected in his ability to memorize Scripture. Hey, when he tempted Jesus there in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 6, he cited an obscure verse out of context there. Matthew chapter 4 verse 6 said, "And saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." The verse he's referring to is Psalm 91, verses 11 to 12. "For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." And we find that Satan here, we find the description of him. And a lot of times people get to dabbling around in the spirit world, and they get to dabbling around with Satan, and they get to fooling around trying to find information on what Satan is, who Satan is. And I say this morning that we have a Bible, hey, that gives us the description of who he was, how subtle he was, hey, how he was in the very beginning, that he was in charge of all the angels, yet in his pride and his arrogancy, he said, I'll arise above the throne of God, and he was wanting to take over. He knew that he was created perfect in the beginning, hey, but then there was iniquity found in him, and he was cast out of heaven there. So we see the personality of Satan. Jesus warned Peter of the emotional side of Satan when he told him there in Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. He said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. We know that today that Satan wants to destroy everything about the church. He wants to destroy God's people. Hey, there's a lot of people this morning that's went in the sifter of Satan, and they've not come out the way that Peter came out. And Jesus warned Peter, hey, that Satan desired to destroy him. Hey, that Satan desired to sift him and to see what he was made of. And yet Jesus told him, he said, but I have prayed for thee. And he told him, said, when thou art converted, thou wilt strengthen thy brethren. Hey, I thank God that there's a lot of folks that knew the personality of Satan. They knew what he was all about. Hey, they knew how he was deceptive in his ways, and that he was wanting to destroy the church of the living God today. And that's why we must today, hey, can earnestly contend for the faith while contending with Satan. Satan liked nothing better than destroy your life. He liked nothing better than destroy your family's life. He liked nothing better than to tear a church up. That's why the Bible commands us to love one another. Hey, our fellowship needs to be based upon the doctrines of the Scripture. Hey, that we can find the mind of God on any situation in our life. Hey, that we can find the mind of God of the life that He wants us to live, and the life that He wants us to be before this, the light that He wants us to be before this world that we're walking in. Jesus warned Peter. Then we find that James identified a fear as part of the emotional experience of the fallen angels. In verse 19 of chapter 2, James said, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. Hey, the devils also believe and tremble. Even as powerful as Satan is and the power that he has, hey, we find that the angels believe in God and they tremble this morning. Note not only the personality of Satan, but also the presence of Satan. The presence of Satan. Can I say that Satan is present in this world that we're living in today? Hey, you don't believe me. You just look around. You look at the news for just a little bit. Hey, you'll see the hand of Satan in this world. Hey, you'll see how he's trying to corrupt our society today. He's already corrupt our politicians. I mean, you can look at someone that has demon influenced, and they have been being controlled by Satan, and his presence is real in their life. And you can see it on their countenance. You can see it on their countenance. You look at some of these politicians, and you can see the very devil in their face. You look at these homosexuals and you can see, hey, the very presence of Satan in their life, the influence of Satan. You can usually pick them out just by looking. And we're profiling, I know, this morning. Hey, but I'm telling you, the presence of Satan is real. He's in this world today. Why do you think we're having so many shootings across this land? Hey, it's not that guns are bad. It's the people that's got guns. They've been influenced by Satan, or even possessed by Satan. Someone that would just walk in and just shoot people they don't even know for no reason. Hey, there's got to be a controlling factor, and it all boils down to the presence of Satan in this world. Hey, the things that we're embracing as a country today. There's no telling what we're gonna see before we get out of this thing. And I believe that Jesus could come at any moment. I believe this Bible teaches the imminent return. And I've said that many times and you may get tired of hearing it. Hey, but I'm going to say it again and again. Hey, Jesus could come before we get out of here this morning. But we see the presence of Satan. He's real. He's here. He tempted the Lord there in Luke chapter 4. The Bible says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. You just beware that you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Hey, Satan's going to show up on your doorstep. You begin to walk with Jesus and you begin to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Hey, Satan is going to come before you. He did Jesus. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And you'll find, note there this morning, every time Jesus responded to Satan, he responded with the Word of God. Verse 4 said, and Jesus answered, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into the high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. I give it. He said, if thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Can I say, when we respond with the Word of God, hey, Satan, I believe, will depart from us for a season from time to time. Hey, but He's always there. He's presence in this world. I'm glad He's not omnipresent, but He's in this world. He's not God, and He never will be God. Hey, it don't matter what kind of pride He has in His life. Hey, I've read the back of the book, and God's going to win. Hey, He's got this thing all set up, and the devil, he still thinks he's got the opportunity, and he's got the chance to take over. But friend, let me tell you, in the very end of this thing, it don't matter what the Democrats does. It don't matter what the Republicans do. Hey, we win. He tempted Jesus. Peter warns of His presence. There in 1 Peter, the verse we read this morning, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Hey, everybody's faced with the same thing we are. Don't ever get up on a high horse and think that Satan can't take you down. Hey, I've seen something better than us that's been took down by Satan down through the years. And he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. Hey, he's looking for that moment that we let our guard down. Hey, he's looking for that moment that we begin to follow the flesh and walk in the flesh. Hey, he's looking for that moment that you might get to that point in place. Hey, where you think that you are going to make it without the help of God. Let me tell you, all of us without the help of God would fall today and Satan would take us down. He's walking about. Peter said, be sober. Be vigilant. Be alert. Hey, he's not going to leave you alone until we get out of this world. I promise you. My daddy's 96 years old. And I promise you, Satan goes over there when he's sitting in that easy chair a lot of times and attacks him. He'll attack you mentally this morning. He attacks people morally. And he attacks people materially. He'll get you thinking that, hey, working and all these things is more important than the house of God. I'm going to tell you, hey, this morning, church is important to us. Hey, Paul, we adhere to the epistles of Paul. He said, upon the first day of the week, let everyone lay aside his Lord has prospered him. You'll never prosper. I don't care who you are. If you're saved and you ought to be in church, the house of God, hey, you'll never prosper working on Sunday. It'll go somewheres. And I know there's a lot of people that has to work. But I'm talking about these people that willfully work. Hey, when they could get them another job, if they would, where they could be in the house of God. Paul, the writer of the Hebrews said, not forsaking the assembling yourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. There may be someone here this morning that needs exhorting, and someone that's not here this morning could have had that word of exhortation to encourage them to go on. If ever a member was like me, what in the world would my church be? Peter warns of his presence. Paul warns of his presence. There in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, and said, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Hey, all these Bible teachers on the radio and television, you better be careful what you listen to. Hey, they're not all sin of God. Paul told him, said, there's false apostles back then when he was here. False teachers. Paul had them rise up against him. He said, Alexander the coppersmith did him much harm. No marvel, he said, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You listen to him. If you'll read your Bible and study your Bible and you rightly divide your Bible, hey, you listen to him. It won't be long. They'll slip up. You'll figure out what agenda they're trying to push. He's transformed into an angel of light. A lot of these radio preachers that's appealing for everybody's money, you mark them off. It's all about money with them. It's all about money with them. They're flying in big jets across the country. They're fleecing God's people a lot of times and wanting them to sow seed. Hey, we better give, but we better give with the right attitude and the right reason, and we better give to the right place. I don't want to be supporting some false prophet, some false teacher. Hey, I don't want to be putting my money where it ain't been used to spread the gospel of the grace of God in this day and hour that we're living in. We see the presence of Satan. We see the personality of Satan. Then thirdly, let me say this morning, we see the power of Satan. We see the power of the Satan. Hey, the devil desires to control the minds, the morals, the motives, the manners, the materials available to man in this day and hour that we're living in. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9-10 said, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. He desires our minds. Our minds are so occupied today. Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's just only reasonable that we should present our bodies, our minds, our hearts, our everything, every faculty of us to the Lord. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. How are you going to renew your mind? Of getting in this book. Them old songs that we've listened to, and we've all listened to them down through the years. We've all listened, most everybody's listened to some type of worldly music. They watched worldly television. And all that's in our minds, just like our phones are full of trash this morning. Hey, everybody's looking at the phone. They got the computer. They're looking at Facebook. They're looking at Twitter. Hey, they're looking at their emails all the time. It's wonder there's not more accidents than there are. You see people walking across the parking lot. They're looking at their phone. Brother Grady said something the other day as he was preaching. Hey, about the end of time, what it'd be. Hey, people are lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. You look around, people's always taking selfies of themselves. They're proud of themselves. They love themselves. They're spreading everything on the internet except the Word of God a lot of times. Christians that call themselves a God-fearing Christian, Spirit-filled Christian, hey, you'll hear more of the secular and worldly things than you will about Jesus. The power of Satan. He wants to control your mind. He wants to control your morals. You can't look at your phone without something immoral popping up. Even in the news, they'll have them little flash of pops-ups that comes up. And they're trying to distract you through your mind and through your morals. Without Jesus, we're all morally corrupt. We're living in a nation that used to be a godly nation, I believe. And I believe this nation was founded upon the principles of God. I believe that bunch come from over yonder in England, come over here looking for liberty to worship. Out from under the oppression of the state church. But look where we're at today. We're killing babies. By the millions have been killed. We ain't got away with it, by the way, either. We're not going to get away with it. You don't abort and kill that many babies and not give an account to God one of these days. All this transgender stuff that's going on, who would have ever thought it? They're in positions in government now, and we're racist if we say anything about it. We're prejudiced. They're just pushing all this stuff, trying to stir up turmoil in this country, and the Democrats are behind it. I know I'm not supposed to be talking. This is hate speech. According to some of them, because they don't believe the book. They don't believe the book. You go into Genesis and you'll find out how it was going to be from the beginning. They say we're too white today. All this stuff is just hinged on a satanic oppression and satanic driven in this day and hour that we're living in. And Satan is trying to corrupt the church through our minds and through our morals. Immorality's even got in our churches. It's nothing for somebody to get found out about fornication today. Hey, a lot of these preachers, they fall, they get caught up in fornication, and we'll brush it off. Hey, that's wicked in God's eyes. I've seen them that got mixed up in their marriages and lost their marriages, married another woman, and never missed a lick and just kept on going. I've seen that. And they wonder why the preachers that used to have them in wouldn't have them in, because some of them are earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. The devil wants to destroy. The power of Satan. Our minds, our morals, our motives, our manners. There's not much manners in this world. He's corrupted the manners of people. We have no respect for the things of God anymore. You walk in most churches and you think you're at a rock concert. Good Bible-believing churches that have turned. They've changed their music. They've changed their morals. Hey, they've changed their code of ethics. Paul said in Ephesians 6, verse 12 again, said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Let me say, those people are not our enemies. The prince and power of the air, he's in control of all this. He's what's bringing all this about. Hey, we've just let our guard down as God's people today. Our churches have changed. The Bible-believing preaching churches, hey, they have allowed the devil and certain men to creep in unawares, bringing in their damnable heresies. We see churches change. Independent Baptist churches that used to stand upon the Word of God, hey, they've changed. They've embraced this new generation with the music that they want to hear. Hey, the Bibles that they want to hear from. They, you know, everybody wants a Bible they can understand without studying it. Paul said over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, he said, "For the natural man understandeth not the things of God, for they're spiritual and they're spiritually discerned." Hey, you'll never be able to understand any Bible if you're not saved and born again, the Spirit of God living in you, hey, that He can interpret and He can teach you. And you'll sure not never live by it if you've never passed from death into life. The devil is duping this world. He knows he don't have much time left. He knows what's going to happen. Hey, he's fixing to get to that point and place. He's going to be chained up in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and then he's going to be loose for a little season, and he's not going to win again. And then he's going to be cast into the lake of fire. And he's trying to take down as many as he can. The church is the salt and light of this world. Christians are salt and light. When the Christians are gone, when Jesus comes back and catches the church out of here, hey, the restraining power of the Holy Spirit is going to leave this world, but He's still going to be here because there's going to be some people that's going to be saved during that tribulation period. It takes the Holy Spirit in any dispensation for people to get saved. But the restraining power, we think it's bad now. You wait till God's people in the church goes out of here. Hey, he may turn this thing around and look pretty good for a little while. Get rid of all... We're the problem today. We're the problem. If you're a Christian and you're standing for what's right and you're standing for some morality and you're standing for some political justice in this day and out, you're the problem. Those that were voted Republican, they're the problem as far as this world goes. And Christians are even more of a problem because we believe in the God that created this world. A true Christian believes in doing right. A true Christian, hey, believes in holding up standards that are pleasing to God. I'm talking about the power of Satan today. He's a powerful foe. He's not all powerful, but he's a powerful foe. Bible says there's no temptation overtaking him, but such as is common to man. But with every temptation, God would make a way of escape. The Bible tells us that God is not the author of confusion. You know why there's so much confusion? Because the devil is bringing it about. You know why we got so many different versions of the Bible? Because it creates confusion. People that's not studied, hey, they don't know which Bible is the right Bible. It don't matter what Bible you embrace. If you're not born again and saved by the grace of God, hey, you'll never embrace that which is right. The Bible said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." It said, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall see Him as He is, for we shall be like Him." And He goes on, that third verse says, "And every man that hath this hope purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Hey, there's a little work on your part after you get saved of purifying yourself. getting rid of that junk that you used to embrace. Watching those things that you used to watch. Listening to those things that you used to listen to. Running with that crowd that you shouldn't be running with. I'm not running around when somebody's going to be drinking. I'm not going to a restaurant and eat dinner with somebody that's going to order a beer and sit there with them. I'm not running with that crowd. I'm not going to be seen with them. I love them. I love some. I know some people that I know drinks probably. Hey, I'm not going with them. I'm not sitting at a table that's got wine sitting on it. The Bible said, wine's a mocker, strong drink's raging. Whosoever deceived thereby is not wise. The power of Satan. John chapter 14, verse 30 says, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So we see the power of Satan. We see the presence of Satan. We see the personality of Satan. And then fourthly this morning, we see the program of Satan. And I'm just going to give you some of these things. The devil's program includes the times and seasons. Satan tempted the Lord after His baptism and fasting there in the wilderness. That time that Jesus had got filled with the Holy Ghost. That time that Jesus had been anointed for service that He was to do. The work that He was sent here to do. Hey, Satan tempted David at a time when kings went to battle. Hey, you know there's times in your life when you get cold and indifferent, you're not reading your Bible, you're not praying, you're not going to church like you should be. Hey, that's the time that Satan's going to come to you. That's his plan. That's his program. David, we know the story, said it came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. You know the story, what happened. I'll not read the rest of it. Where he went out on the rooftop at eventide and he looked out across the kingdom, no doubt. His men was on the battlefield. David was in Jerusalem, walking on the battle, walking on the rooftop there, and he looked out and he spied Bathsheba. And that look, the eye got him. The lust of the eye got him. He seen a beautiful woman bathing. And David got in trouble. Because it was a time that he should have been busy. It was a time that he should have been on the battlefield with the men. And David had tarried. You get to tarrying in your time, and Satan will attack you. That's his program. The devil's program includes tactics and snares. He's always setting snares. I've been a trapper. We used to set traps. We used tactics to lure the animal in and to get them to put their... You had a little trap about like that and you tried to plant it and fix it where that fox would step in that. And I've caught many a fox using tactics, using lures to lure them into a place. All you got to do is just dig a hole, put a little bait in there, lay some sticks down there and funnel him into there, and he'll step right in that on that pan. And pop, he got him. The devil appeals to our ambition. There's a lot of people that have been destroyed, and Satan has used their ambitions to get them to a point. Hey, save people. People that knew the Lord. Because a lot of preachers, because of their ambitions, they departed away from preaching truth. Because that's not what the multitude of people want. They want programs. They want plans. They want parties for their children. And we're raising a generation that knows not God. The devil appeals to our ambition. 1 John 2:15 said, love not the world, need things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Hey, the devil appeals to our allegiance. The devil appeals to our allegiance. How close are you to God? How much allegiance are you giving God in your life? The devil misleads, he misinforms, and he misrepresents the Word of God's Word. That's why Jesus said, for certain men have crept in unaware. That's why John said, try the spirits and know that they're of God. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, the Bible said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. So we find here that the devil, he discredited God's Word. He said, he added to the Word of God. He said, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. He's adding to. God didn't say every tree. He said, you need of all the trees except that one tree. The devil's program includes tragedy and successes. He'll use tragedy. He'll use success. Hey, the devil's program is designed to entice, to enslave, and to embarrass you. Can I say this morning? The devil blinds, he binds, and he blames, he beguiles, and he belittles those that are trying to please God. Churches that are trying to preach the truth. Hey, the devil will say, you can't preach that kind of stuff in this day and hour that we're living. We're living in 2021. And we've said it, but I've said it myself and other preachers I've heard. Hey, some of them old-time preachers, hey, they don't understand. We're facing things that they never faced. But I'm going to tell you, we should still preach the truths that they preached. We should earnestly contend for the faith, hey, that was once delivered in the saints, has been passed on from generation to generation. If it's new, it's not true. We should preach what we've been taught through the Word of God and by the Word of God. Don't matter if it hare-lips the devil or who it hare-lips. I heard a story about a mild-mannered young man that was ready for divorce. He complained that his bride was so bossy that she was driving him off the wall. He wanted things to change immediately. The counselor told him that he needed to build his self-esteem and that would take time. Said he gave him a book on assertiveness and he was so desperate to change things that he read the whole book before he got home that day. Determined to be a victim no more, he stormed into the house and walked up to his wife and pointed a finger in her face. He said, from now on I want you to know that I'm the man of this house and my word is law. I want you to prepare me a gourmet meal tonight and to finish the meal you will have baked for me a fabulous dessert. Then after dinner, you're going to draw me in my bath so I can relax. And when I'm finished with my bath, guess who's going to dress me and comb my hair? The funeral director, said his wife. In other words, she was saying, there will be no changes. Hey, the devil don't need changes today. What he's doing is working, and we need to be alert to his methods. There's a lion on the loose today. And if there's ever been a day and time that you and I need to earnestly contend for the faith while contending with the devil, hey, he ain't going away, friend. He's here to stay till God gets through with him. It's up to us. I wonder this morning, are we going to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints? Somebody said, well, that's hard preaching. Well, the Bible tells me the ways of a transgressor is hard. And I've seen a lot of people that's got out of the will of God. They went back out there in the world. The devil has lured them away. He's distracted them. He's defeated them. And he's ended up destroying their life. I could count a number of people that I know that used to be in the house of God. But through their slackness, the devil has destroyed their lives, their families, and their children is coming along. Just because of our sorry, low-down ways. I told a man one time, he died here not too long ago. He he used to come to church, and they were hard. I mean, they tried to be hard, but things wasn't what they appeared to be at home. Things with his wife wasn't what there was should have been. He was mean. His children, they come in, and they look like everything was okay. One of his daughters married a young man in our church that everything looked like it was fine. They moved off up to Calhoun to attend Bible college, I think. They endured for a little while. They got out of church. They ended up, they had three children. They divorced. The whole family out of church now, as far as I know. I've not had no contact with them. We loved that family. We loved the young man that she married. We thought a lot of him. One of the girls there, I heard her. She told Brother Willard one time she was mocking this other preacher, and I can't say exactly what it was, but she was just being her, I guess. This preacher used to talk about, and he would say, call people a yellow belly, egg sucking, blah 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 blah. Something. I forget what it was. But that was very disrespectful, that young lady, to say that to our pastor. And then, one night we was having camp meeting, and the daddy, he got a bunch from another church, wanted them to come down and help pray for our pastor. Brother Willard wasn't a hard-line preacher like his brother was. And like some of the other preachers, Brother Willard was a good pastor. He was a good preacher. He was himself. That wasn't him. I understood that, and I knew that. And I sat under him. He taught me a lot in 6 years that we was with him. Well, that man, I seen him one time. He's in and out of church. And he told me, and I don't think he liked it, what I told him. He wanted me to pray for that girl, and he called her name. I said, well, you know, sometimes our lives affects others. We get out. We don't think about what it's doing. And then them kids, they get out in the world and they get so far out, hey, they don't ever get back. If they're even saved. They might have got a counterfeit. You can't never tell. We don't know nobody's heart but our own. Everything that God does, Satan got a counterfeit. A lot of people going on a feeling. Hey, and the devil shoots them a feeling in the altar sometimes. Everybody gets up and says that they got saved. They didn't get saved. They might have went on their emotions. I made two professions of faith. And I've told you about that time. I was tenderhearted. There was two preachers, the best I remember, and my cousin. They got in me in a service in an August meeting talking to me, and I cried, and I went down to the altar. Miss Ethel Riles prayed with me. I got up and said, the Lord saved me. I was about 8, 9 years old. My dad dunked me down yonder in the Flat Shoals. I grew up in my teenage years, and there was no change in my life. I tried to hold on to that profession. Well, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. I called upon the name of the Lord. But I never had no peace in my heart. I think man convicted me that morning instead of the Holy Ghost. I was tenderhearted. I cried. I cried that time, and I cried the second time I got saved. But the second time, God did something in my heart I've never got away from. I've not always been what I should be, and I'm by far what I should be and ought to be right now. But I'm going to tell you, I got some peace in my heart that this world knows not of. I know whom I have believed in and persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. That young lady, as far as I know, she's not got right. I don't know that. I mean, she may be right. She may be as right as possible now. But last count I had of it, she wasn't. The last picture I've seen of her daddy, he was on somebody had him on Facebook shooting a bird. Claimed to be a preacher. I wonder, what are you going to do when the devil comes to you? Are you going to earnestly contend for the faith? Hey, when things get tough, when things get rough, are you going to continue on with Him, with Jesus? Are you going to stand up for what's right in this day and hour when it's not popular? And it's never going to be popular again. People don't have much respect for Christians. The last 30 years we've seen a decline in respect for Christians. It used to mean something to be a Christian. Now you can't find nobody lost, hardly. Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. But their life is not bearing any fruit. If there's ever been a time we, as God's people, need to stand up and bear fruit, it's in this day and hour we're living in. Let's pray. I feel like that's the message. Lord, thank you again for the opportunity we've had to be in your house this morning. We thank you for these that's taken time to come. Lord, help us to be faithful in these last days that we're living in. Lord, guard us from the devil. Lord, help us to utilize the equipment that you've given us to battle him, Lord, and we'll take that stand. And we'll stand for what's right, and we'll live for you. We'll love you. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings, God, that you give us. We love you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake. Amen. God bless you. You're at liberty to go.